Will you bow with me as we pray? Gracious God, we have come here this day to be reminded once again of this story, that although Christ died, he is risen. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. And we praise you for this act that made life and hope possible for all this world. Remind us, re-inspire us, renew our faith by your Spirit, that as we hear this story once again, we might believe in the one who came to save us. May your Spirit continue to stir and to work in our midst now, that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So the season of Lent is the time that leads up to Easter from Ash Wednesday until today. And I know we've got a lot of family and visitors with us this morning, so I need to do a brief catch-up for all of you, because through this season of Lent, we were working our way through the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. It's a wisdom literature in which the teacher, some think maybe Solomon, some are unsure. The Hebrew name is Kohelet for this author. The teacher is imparting the human wisdom that he's gained over a long life. And Kohelet is a little bit cynical, a little bit jaded, a little bit beat up by life, as many of us have probably experienced. Old Testament scholar Peter Enns describes this book this way. He says that what Kohelet is telling us, at the end of the day, life is frustratingly absurd. The cycles of nature are screaming this message to us. You live, you exert a lot of energy, but nothing new happens. Just like the sun, the wind, and the rivers, it just goes on. And then you die. And one more thing, after you die, you'll be quickly forgotten. Not the inspiring Easter message you were hoping to hear, but that's where we're at in Lent, and so we're even more grateful to be here today to hear that that tomb is empty. Because Kohelet really did wrestle with this human looking at life and saying, I've tried it all. I've lived it up. I've experienced those carpe diem moments, those YOLO moments of you only live for only live once. Make the most of it. Party it up. Eat, drink, be happy, because that's all I've got. That's the best I can see of how to live this life. And for this book of Ecclesiastes, there isn't much overly hopeful in that message of that book. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, first verse introduces us to Kohelet, the author, and verse 2, right away, the teacher begins with, vanity of vanities, all of it's vanity, it's absurd, it's meaningless, what's the point? And he spends 12 chapters going through these cycles and ups and downs of life, and we get to the end of the book 12 chapters later. Chapter 12, verse 8, he ends with, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Absurdness, what's the point of life? 38 times through this book, we hear this refrain. Somebody didn't want Kohelet to end this writing, this literature on that word. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He started with it, he ended it with it, he bookended it, and everything in between was on that topic. But there is a short epilogue at the end of Ecclesiastes where someone else seems to speak, because throughout Ecclesiastes, the author continues saying, I. But at the very end, chapter 12, verse 9, he says, besides being wise, the teacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs. The teacher sought to find pleasing words, and he wrote words that were plainly true. And then in verse 13, he says, but this is the end of the matter. Everything has been heard. But fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of everyone. So after all those things that Kohelet said about life and these hamster wheels that we run on and this life of striving and not seeing any different results and wrestling with why do good things happen to bad people and why do bad things happen when people seem to be good and all of that struggle At the end, the person writing this postscript says, but nonetheless, fear God and keep his commandments. So I want that background to be what sets the stage for this morning as we really get to the meat of today. Our Luke reading in chapter 24. Jan read for us and said, on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. This group of women, these followers, these people that knew and loved and had been there with Jesus and had probably experienced the life that Kohelet described. Of you work, you strive, you go through all of this effort, and then you die. It was with that mindset and that frame of understanding about how life and the world works that wanted to at least deny that last statement that Peter ends left us with of not only that, and then you're quickly forgotten. They didn't want Jesus to be forgotten. They knew that death had claimed him, and they went to that tomb fully expecting to see his lifeless body there. They brought their spices. They brought the things necessary to properly and appropriately finish preparing his body for its final rest. They were operating from that mindset that many, if not all of the people in their world had. You live, life's a struggle, and then you die. They'd seen that happen to Jesus, and boy, had his life been a struggle at the end. And so they went in their grief, in their pain, and in their hurt to gaze into that tomb and to attend to him one final time. But that's not what they found, is it? You see, when they got there, the story tells us that they went in and they didn't find the body there. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. It says the women were terrified and they bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Well, the easy answer is, because when the dead die, that's where they are. We put them in tombs. But then they reminded them, but Jesus said it was going to be different. Jesus said this was going to happen and that he'd rise again. And he did. So these women, having remembered this, returned and they went and told those remaining 11 disciples and all the others who had followed Jesus. And we're told who these women are. And it says in verse 11, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Different translations of the Bible put this different way. Some believe they said it was an idle tale. Others said this was beyond their comprehension. I saw one commentator that went so far as to say that when they heard this story, all of the others called BS. You're making it up. This cannot be. Dead people die, and they don't rise again. And yet, here the women were telling this story. And we're told that Peter ran and stooped and looked in, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. And then he too went home, amazed at what had happened. At some point, you would think it would have started clicking for people that, oh, wait. Yeah, we just kind of laughed it off when Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to die, but I'll rise again. They were there and they'd witnessed the miracles. They were there when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, but it's one thing to perform a miracle for somebody else, but to die and then get back up yourself 3 days later? Who does that? And yet Jesus did. For the story I shared with the children this morning, I truly believe that the empty tomb becomes the lens through which we interpret life. And not just interpret life, but we interpret Scripture to understand more fully what God is revealing to us. If we had spent the last 6 weeks going through Ecclesiastes and just ended with, well, the best you can do after eat, drink, be merry is fear God and keep His commandments, that's still not a very hopeful or inspiring message. But when we look back, particularly at some of those difficult passages in the Old Testament, we have the benefit of reading them through the lens of the empty tomb. We have the benefit of looking at them in a way that we see more fully where God was moving this story that we're all a part of. And we can look back into some of those passages in the Old Testament and see through that empty tomb how God was bringing things to completion for His great act of salvation for all the world to be possible. Ecclesiastes, from a human perspective, doesn't give much hope. Ecclesiastes, from the perspective of the empty tomb, means that, you know what? Life is difficult. Life is challenging. But God wins in the end. And that victory that God has through that empty tomb is our victory as well. Those struggles in life, that ultimate death that we will all face, have no power over us because Jesus rose again. I see a number of you out there wearing glasses like I do, and maybe some of you that have them at home on the nightstand. You've all probably been to the doctor at some point to have your eyes checked. Anybody know the name of that machine they have you sit down that has all those dials and things in front of it? Phoropter. I had no idea until this week. I was curious. According to Google, that's what it's called, a phoropter. But as you're sitting there, if you've had that exam, as they're adjusting and making corrections for whatever you need to be able to see a little bit better, you get to that point where they're flipping things back and forth. Is it better this way or that way? Is it better this way or that way? This lens of the empty tomb is a moment for us to make a decision and a choice ourselves. When we look at the world through human eyes and a human lens, we see hurt. We see brokenness that seems beyond repair. We see anger and hatred and violence. We see atrocities carried out in our own neighborhoods in ways that just are unspeakable. That's the human lens that paints this picture that doesn't have a hopeful ending. But then God flips up that lens of the empty tomb and says, how is it now? How is it when you look out upon this world that you see, where yes, bad things do happen, does it look a little bit different knowing that my Son died for you and rose again? And even death could not contain Him. I choose the lens of the empty tomb. I want to be able to look out into this world in hope. I want to be able to look out upon the brokenness and know that that brokenness is not the final word, but rather God has a plan to redeem and to save and to restore all things, all lives, all people. And so even though we turn on the news or pick up the newspaper and hear of families torn apart by violence, of families grieving the loss of someone to an overdose, to sudden and tragic accidents on the highways, that is not the only reality that we live in. We live in the reality of the empty tomb. We live in and through that empty tomb because as we look to the future, we know that God has already provided the solution through his son, Jesus. And so we put our hope and our trust in him, that the life that he lives, the life that could not be defeated and held down by a tomb, is a life that's available and offered to all of us as well when we say yes to him. May our story continue to be a story that we live. And this tale that others once thought to be so idle is by no means an idle tale. It's by no means a fabrication. It is a mystery that we can't always explain. But then why should we? Because if we could wrap our human minds around it, if we could apply that wisdom of Kohelet to understand who God is, that wouldn't be much of a God if we could explain and understand fully who he is. The mystery of the empty tomb is the promise of life eternal. May we live into that promise and know the love of God. So go and tell, as the others were instructed. Amen.
The white carnation on the altar is in memory of John Hudson, who passed away this past Monday. His funeral and visitation are tomorrow morning here at Central. 10 to 11 is the visitation, with the service to follow at 11. We also remember in prayer today Doris Knollman and Betty Ingerman. And we pray for those affected in Sri Lanka by the bombings on their Easter morning. Let us pray. Risen Lord, how magnificent this place is today. The flowers that grace our worship area shout the good news of new life. Their colors and shapes dance with joy at the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we also rise in hope and celebrate.